Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey.
How's your weekend?
It was great.
You came back from the Women in Music event last
week.
Yes,
I came back from New York. It was great to be home.
Did you have intimate time with Ariana?
Yeah, no. Although our coworker Jason did backstage.
That's right.
So definitely watch that interview. I should say coworker slash Pop Shop co-founder, yeah. Jason Lipschitz. But yeah, it was a fantastic event and great to always be with our New York coworkers, of course.
But now you're back.
Now I'm back.
Better than
LA
ever.
For life.
Until the next time you go back.
Yeah.
As always, the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. And in addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today, we'll be discussing the Grammy Award nominations, the Golden Globe nominations, some notable snubs and surprises, and we have an interview with 2019 Golden Globe and Grammy nominee, Mark Ronson.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah. Now, it felt like, you know, there's a lot of news going on in the world, but like, Golden Globe and Grammy nominations came out back-to-back days last week.
It's just awards. It's awards frenzy right
it
now.
It truly is. And so we thought we'd kind of break down the big four Grammy nominations.
Especially in light of the fact that we did a Grammy sort of what we think are going to be nominated for the big four categories a couple weeks ago.
Let's
it makes
talk
sense.
About how we did. And then also let's look at the musical Golden Globe nominations as well. Not musicals as in like musicals, but music.
They do have a musical category, best comedy or musical.
That's true, it's true.
Because there's so many musicals in the way now.
Not to like completely get off track this before we even get started.
I like the way you preface that, but just in case.
But I was a little surprised that they didn't
We haven't even got to the Golden Globe nominees.
I was just a little surprised they didn't submit A Star is Born as a musical. It's in the drama category.
Because I guess technically it's not a musical. It's not a sung-through musical.
It's funny, though, because I
the music performances are sung as if they're on stage or in a club.
Yes, but you've not yet seen this movie, which
no,
is insane.
Fine,
but
yeah,
I'm going to talk for a second about the fact
should
that...
Did you want to talk about it when we get to the
Golden
Globes?
Okay, if you'd like to hear my strong thoughts about the Golden Globes categories, why don't we wait until that? For now, let's get into the Grammy nominations.
You have that. You know what's coming.
Should we just start with the top category for the Grammys Big Four, which, according to the Grammys website, the number one category is Record of the Year. I always think of Album of the Year as being the big guy.
I always think of Album and Record as being equivalent.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
In terms of importance, but...
So, but they refer to Category 1 as Record of the Year, so let's launch in with Record of the Year.
Okay, 8 nominees.
Quick reminder that this is the one that's for a recording of a song. So this is not a songwriting award. That would be Song of the Year, because this is always confusing. So, Record of the Year. It goes to the artist, the producer, recording engineers, and or mixers, and mastering engineers.
Yeah.
The nominees are I Like It by Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin.
The Joke by Brandi Carlile.
This Is America by Childish Gambino.
God's Plan by Drake.
Is that the one with the video? Just joking. Shallow by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
All the Stars by Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Rockstar by Post Malone featuring 21 Savage.
And The Middle by Zedd, Maren Morris, and Gray.
I feel like Keith and I both have to pat ourselves on the back a little bit on this one just because you were the one that said The Middle was a shoo-in.
Oh, yeah.
And I was definitely... riding for I Like It in this category. I thought that would be the perfect spot for Cardi and for these high-profile Latin artists to get some love at the Grammys.
So let's talk about some of our snubs and surprises specifically in this category.
Yes.
I think a big snub, or at least a significant snub, was Ed Sheeran and Beyoncé's Perfect, which I thought would kind of be a shoe-in.
Seemed like a lock.
But I guess not. Maybe they thought they've already given Ed too much love?
Or maybe, you know... We
because
talked
of
about
the
this
weirdness
on the show.
Of it's being remixed.
Yeah, it's like Perfect was a song in its entirety, released on Ed's album before the eligibility, but then it did this new duet version with Beyonce, and
right,
it did seem like Grammy bait, and yet it was not.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Ariana Grande's not here.
Which is a little weird.
I mean, not to jump ahead, but Ariana Grande's nowhere.
She's not in any
in
of the
big four
in the
categories.
Big four categories. I mean, she would only be in 3 of the big four because she's not a new artist
Correct.
Anymore. But yes, she's not in any of the big 3 that she was eligible in.
We were talking about God is a Woman for record. We were talking about, you know, No Tears Left to Cry as a song. We were talking about Sweetener as the album. She is nowhere to be found.
But she's in the pop category.
But she's in the pop category. She did not get shut out, but it's still surprising.
Yes.
Yes.
Meant to Be by Florida Georgia Line and Bebe Rexha, not in either of the major record or song.
It did get love. Bebe got 2 nominations total for both Best New Artist, which, sorry, I'm jumping ahead again, but Bebe got love as Best New Artist, which is crazy because she doesn't seem very new.
She's been around for like 4 years or 5 years.
5 years. Yeah. And then she got a country nomination with Florida Georgia
Line
as
well.
Like
duo group performance or something like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can move on then.
Album Unless
we
of the Year time.
Oh, actually, we can say a surprise. I thought it was kind of surprising that Brandi Carlile was in here.
Yes.
I mean, she's great, but I was surprised that this... Clearly, she was the dark horse, like... Yeah. Under the radar, like
you
critical.
Might hear her name a couple more times in a second too.
Critical favorite nominee.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now we can move on.
Okay. So album of the year. The first one is Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy.
And then we got Brandi Carlile again.
Oh, hey.
With By the Way, I Forgive You.
We have Scorpion from Drake.
Her. Is it just? It is just hers. Her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Hers. This is an interesting one too because she. I hope I don't mess this up, but she's signed now. To I think RCA, and this is not what like she has not yet released her major label debut. This is her first 2 like EPs pushed together
combined
into a project,
into a double EP,
and it's album of the year nominee. So not even her was expecting this at all.
That's funny.
Next one is Post Malone's Beer Bongs and Bentleys.
Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer.
We have Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour.
It's your fave. the Black Panther, the album Music From and Inspired By soundtrack.
Yes, as a lot of people noted, Kendrick Lamar has like 8 nominations for this year's Grammys. And he didn't even put an album out. Which, I mean, technically he did oversee this album, but it's not a Kendrick Lamar album. It's a various artist album.
Yeah, and like even though he's only technically credited on a couple of the tracks as an artist, he's kind of on a lot
of
the songs.
He's an EP for the entire project.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so that's all 8.
So, snubs, Camila Cabello.
Yeah, because we had talked about last, or a couple weeks ago, that Havana, which is her big song that might have had a chance at the big categories, was submitted last year when it hadn't yet become a hit, and so it didn't have a chance this year, except for it is a live version of it is nominated in the pop categories, but not in the big 4.
Right.
So album seemed like a possible shot for her.
Right, to sort of recognize the fact that she had a big breakthrough, she had these, you know, couple hit singles, she isn't eligible for new artists, but this would be a place to, this is the one place to kind of put her,
mm-hmm.
would be album of the year. But evidently there's a lot of competition for album of the year.
And the Carters aren't there.
And Jason thought that that was like a good shot. And when he said it, I'm like, I thought that made sense because it was a great way to cap off the 444 Lemonade.
Yeah, I loved that
trilogy.
That mindset that it wasn't.
Grammys didn't.
They did not.
Recording Academy didn't like that mindset.
They didn't.
Ariana's not nominated here, but we already mentioned that.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, who is a regular in this category, Reputation, was not in this category.
Yeah.
And even with 8 eligibility slots.
She didn't get a thing. We're not talking about just big 4. She was shut out of literally...
She got 1 nomination.
Did she?
For pop album.
Thank you.
Right?
Sorry,
you can
everyone.
Check right there.
Yeah,
in front of you.
I'll double check, but I think you're exactly right. I think I was...
That
I
was
kept
her
looking,
1 nomination.
I kept looking for her to get a nomination for like Delicate, especially.
I thought Delicate.
Being the
yeah.
standout track from the album.
We'll come up. We'll mention that in a second.
But yes, it did not get any nominations. So.
That's weird. Yep. Again, I was a little bit surprised, and we already sort of said this, that hers album was nominated.
Mm. Yes.
And obviously Brandi Carlile again.
Yes. super pumped about my girl Kacey. To me, that's my album of the year, so I'm happy that's eligible there.
Let's move on to song of the year.
All right, cool.
So this is a songwriter award, and a song is eligible if it was first released or if it first achieved prominence during the eligibility year. So the first one is All the Stars, and I'm not going to read off all the songwriters. There's a lot of them.
Performed by Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Right.
That's the easiest way to do it. Boot Up, which is co-written by LMA and performed by LMA.
God's Plan by Drake, and he is one of the, 6 songwriters on this track.
In My Blood, which, well, I'll get to it. I'm, like, excited about
performed by
that
Shawn
being there.
Mendes.
Performed by Shawn Mendes.
The Joke, it's that Brandi Carlile again. She's one of the 4 co-songwriters on this track.
The Middle, is here as well. Song and Record of the Year, Zed, Maren Morrison, Gray is the middle.
Interesting, considering like the... Well, we'll talk about it in a second. Yep. And then Shallow, performed by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and they're two of the four songwriters on this track.
And finally, This Is America from Childish Gambino, co-written by Childish Gambino.
So, interesting. Looking at these songs, there is not a single one that was written by just one person.
Mm.
And the only song that was written by just two people was This Is America.
That is a big change from previous years.
I mean, because songwriting used to be, you know, like a, maybe a duo or like maybe like a three, like, you know, all the hit Motown songs were, you know, written by three people
mm-hmm.
for the most part, whose names just fell out of my brain. They wrote all of the Supremes hits, Holland, Dozier, Holland.
Mm.
Or, you know, like a Carole King or, you know, but now it's just like, it's a very group effort. And I think that is explicitly displayed in great detail if you look up that New York Times interactive piece that they did on The Middle
mm-hmm.
and the making of The Middle
mm-hmm.
and how it went from start to finish and how so many different people and so many different writers and performers were involved with that
yeah.
track. The Middle is both kind of the perfect example of how a pop song is created now in 2018 and also kind of a perfect example of how things are so different and why people sort of hate pop music
right.
in so many ways,
it's
too.
Songwriting by committee.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it turned out to be an incredible, huge hit record that
exactly.
you just can't get out of your head. And, you know, I mean, yeah, so it took a lot of people to make it, but it still turned out a great song.
I mentioned last week also that I got a lot of love from Shawn Mendes fans for even suggesting that In My Blood could be nominated in this category. So
yeah.
I'm happy the Recording Academy also felt, that Shawn and Teddy and Scott and Jeffrey were all, worthy of this category.
Let's talk about some snubs.
All right. I mean, we already mentioned Ariana Grande, because to me, No Tears Left to Cry felt like a really good shot in this category.
Taylor Swift's Delicate.
Taylor Swift.
That
yeah.
I mean, if they were gonna like maybe, I thought like at minimum like maybe like all right maybe they don't feel like any of her songs were big enough for record or worthy enough, but maybe album, just because the album was such a huge selling album, and
yeah.
you want to maybe like kind of recognize that, and with the expansion to eight nominees, maybe she'd get in, and then at minimum like Song of the Year nominee for Delicate because it was a huge hit record.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
We're
no.
so sorry. And I kind of thought This Is Me from The Greatest Showman
mm.
would get a nomination. It is nominated for, like, Best Song Written for Visual Media.
Right.
So Pasek and Paul did get a nomination there. But I kind of thought that this would be a song that maybe could break through to the top categories because it was such a big, empowering
moment.
Song. And it was, like, a fluke hit from a soundtrack that probably no one ever anticipated to be as big as it was.
Yeah.
And that could be a way to recognize The Greatest Showman, which at this point is still the biggest selling album of 2018.
Crazy.
I don't know. And then I'm still surprised endlessly by Brandi Carlile, which maybe I shouldn't be at this point.
Yeah, she, yeah, three of the four.
Is she going to be like the Arcade Fire this year or like the Steely Dan of this year where, sorry, all hip-hop category people, Brandi Carlile is going to win everything.
But I will 100% like, you know, plead ignorance here. I'm one of the people who plan to discover Brandi Carlile via these nominations. I have not really heard much of her work, but I can tell you that some coworkers of ours in the New York office, including your coworker Kevin Rutherford, massive Brandi Carlile fan
hmm.
and was not surprised at all by this.
Oh, wow.
Was overjoyed.
Well, fine then.
Best new artist?
Sure.
All right, cool. First one we have is Chloe and Halle.
Beyonce protégés.
Yes.
Luke Combs, a big rising country star.
Greta Van Fleet, rapping for rock music.
Her again.
Dua Lipa.
Hey, friend of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Margo Price.
Bebe Rexha, as we mentioned.
Friend of the podcast. And Georgia Smith?
Yep.
Yeah, so those are your eight nominees. There were a number of folks that were left out.
There's a glaring error to me. We already mentioned Song of the Year, Boot Up, and yet LMA nowhere to be found.
Maybe they just felt like, yeah, one hit single doesn't mean that you're...
She has two hit singles, to be fair, but second... I mean, I just feel like that recognition in the major category just seems like it would translate to, yes, also best... Something she co-wrote in addition to that, Best New Artist, but...
Well, you know, it's that crazy special committee that makes these selections didn't quite jive with that.
Yes.
Troye Sivan not nominated, and he was eligible this year. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he was having a moment, but evidently the Recording Academy does not agree. No Marshmello either, and he was eligible.
Yeah,
which could have been cool.
Yeah, I thought he would have made sense too. Whoever he is.
Whoever that bucket is.
A couple of country nominees, although one is, you know, very mainstream country and one is more alt country. Luke Combs obviously repping for like radio country, and Margo Price, who had a top 10 Billboard 200 debut that really surprised people last year, I think. Like, that's when she came out with her album that made her Best New Artist eligible. So,
yeah, I think with 8 nominees and Best New Artist, you're allowed to take a lot more chances with who you're putting up there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe they said, all right, yeah, LMA, sorry, that's my computer making noises at me. I have a meeting in a little bit. You may not have even heard that. But you can take chances. Now you have like 8 slots. And so
yeah.
That's why, you know, though LMA had a big hit, maybe they felt like, well, let's shine a light on Chloe and Halle, who haven't really had a hit single in the same way that Boot Up is a hit single.
No. And also, anyone who's been paying attention to music knows that they've been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They started out, you know, posting things to their YouTube channel years and years ago, and then came under Beyonce's wing. And so it's Best New Artist is always a funny one.
It's a funny category.
We didn't mention Hailey Kiyoko too.
Yeah, and she was our
She was our rising star.
Rising star. So she was our own rising star at the Women in Music event.
Yes.
But again, you know, it's when there are so many people that could have been, and when you look at these 8 people and these 8 acts, and you're like, I can see why.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
We have a lot of like, you know, rising new and developing artists, and you know, they all can't get a nomination.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We should mention the Grammy Awards will air live on February 10th, 2019 at 8 p.m. ET on CBS.
And 5 p.m. live on the
That's
West Coast
right.
as well. It's live, live, live.
Moving on to the Golden Globe nominations. There's a couple major music categories at the Golden Globe, so I wanted to highlight those two, but obviously we'll mention a few, you know, music-adjacent nominations as well. But starting with Best Original Song for a motion picture, we have all the stars from Black Panther, Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Yeah, and this is a songwriting award as well.
Yes, once again. So this is, Kendrick is 100% a songwriter on that song, but no.
SZA might be as well.
I think she is.
Yeah, but under...
Yes, I think that's her birth name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Revelation from Boy Erased is performed by Troye Sivan, but
and
it's...
Jonesy, right? From Sigur Rós?
Oh, yeah, maybe it
yeah.
is. I think he might do the music. But it was written by Troye Sivan, Jonesy from Sigur Rós, and Leland, friend of the podcast, Leland.
Oh, nice. And then we have Girl in the Movies, which is from Dumplin'. This is the movie where it's all Dolly Parton music. There's some old, some new. And this, I think, is the one that's co-written by Sia. I should probably have checked that before.
Why don't you know these things, Katie?
Sorry.
Also nominated, This We Know, who the songwriters are. Shallow from A Star Is Born, obviously performed by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And we rattled off some of the songwriters earlier.
And then we have Requiem for a Private War, which is from the movie A Private War. And this one is written by Annie Lennox.
I think it's just Annie
and
Lennox.
And performed.
I think it's just by herself, isn't it?
Yep, I think so too.
Oh, that's odd. So, yeah, those are the nominees for Best Original Song. Katie's still looking up the songwriters for Dumplin'.
Don't mind me.
It's either Linda Perry or it's Sia. I think it's one of the two. Best Original Score for Motion Picture, Marco Beltrami for A Quiet Place. That's interesting because of the movie. Alexandra Desplat for Isle of Dogs. Ludwig Göransson for Black Panther. Justin Hurwitz for First Man. And Mark Shaiman for Mary Poppins Returns.
And it is Linda Perry that co-wrote this one.
All right.
And she also...
The Dumplin' track.
Yes. She also co-produced the soundtrack with Dolly Parton. Linda Perry did.
Mm.
And then there's another song that Dolly sings with. She duets with Sia on another one that Sia helped write.
Aha.
So this is the one from just Linda and Dolly.
Okay.
You mentioned in the Best Original Score, the name that pops out... there's a couple names that pop out to me, but Justin Hurwitz, we know of... From La La Land.
La La Land and something else.
Something else big from last year.
Was it Greatest Showman? No. No?
We're great at this.
Yeah, we're great. It's like we host a podcast or something.
Just double checking. Definitely La La Land.
Oh, you know, he's done a lot of stuff.
Oh, I see. Because he's like Damien Chazelle's like right-hand man. Because he, first man, is also Damien Chazelle. And he also did Whiplash, too. Uh-huh. So, yes.
That's why we just automatically assume. And, you know, by extension, we're like, oh, Pasek and Paul did something for La La Land. So, obviously,
therefore, yeah, no.
They're all in the same, you know, musical bed together. Not yes. quite.
And then, of course, Alexandre Desplat, who's like one of the most awarded, you know, film composers of all time.
Yeah, so... also, there's some music-driven movies up in some of the big categories. The Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody is up for Best Motion Picture Drama, alongside A Star Is Born, while Mary Poppins Returns is nominated for Best Motion Picture Musical Comedy. Now, Katie...
Is this where I get to complain?
Go ahead. No, take it away.
No, okay, complain's not the right word, though. Something that I really liked that I'm going to space on who actually said this originally that made me think about this movie in a different way... the song Shallow, which is the biggest, most popular song from A Star Is Born, when you see the movie, I'm going to ruin it for Keith right now, but I'm just going to talk about this one scene, which you see much of in the music video for Shallow. But Lady Gaga gets called up on stage, you know, doesn't expect it, has no idea she's going to be doing this. And this is the first time that she and Bradley are ever performing Shallow together. Mm-hmm. He's heard her sing bits and pieces of it in a parking lot when they first met. They never got in a studio and worked out who was going to sing what verse when, how the chorus was going to go. They just start singing it.
They just start singing it. And so, it's perfect.
And yes, and it's in a magical scene, but somebody said like that the moment that they kind of realized this movie truly is a musical is when that happened.
It's impossible that they would have it all worked out.
You gotta suspend disbelief and be like, oh, this is like a magical moment.
Maybe they're just not showing you all of the work that they've prepared.
You literally follow Gaga in her entire life, like from when she meets Jackson Maine, I should say Allie, when she meets Jackson Maine, to when this moment on stage happens. Like, you know what she's got going on in all of their moments.
In no earlier part have you heard, like, them, like, I think we got it.
Yeah.
Let's harmonize here.
No.
Here's where the chorus goes.
Exactly.
Verse, chorus,
it's actually
bridge,
offensive.
Out.
It's offensive to our guest, Mark Ronson, to think that songwriting happens this easily. So, when they were submitted for drama...
Did you ask Mark Ronson about these things?
I didn't. No. We had a brief amount of time. I did not bring this up. But, no, I just... it could have... I guess the real thing is that it could have been submitted for either.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't... Like, without batting an eye, I think it could have been submitted for musical or drama, for that matter. So, anyway.
Well, anyway.
Monologue over.
Well, who among the Golden Globe nominees for Best Original Song could also nab an Academy Award nomination for Best Song? I think Shallow and All the Stars seem to be super likely.
Yeah.
They're both nominated for Grammys. After that, of the three other nominees, I don't know. I'm pulling for Revelation, written by friends of the podcast, Troy Sivan, Leland, along with Jonesy, of course, as we mentioned earlier, from Sigur Rós.
There's a great article on Billboard.com written by Melinda Newman, interview with Annie Lennox, talking about how she kind of stopped songwriting for like a long time, and this movie kind of inspired her to do it again. So like, I think that's a pretty great story as well.
That's also what Academy Award voters want to hear.
Yes.
I couldn't write a song until this film moved me to write a song for it.
It's
care
good.
To nominate me for an Oscar?
It's good politicking, Annie.
good. I like your PR spin there. Friend of the podcast, Annie Lennox, who I've met, and she's nothing but lovely. She'll never talk to us again.
Right.
It's all done with levity and humor.
We should mention the Oscar nominations will be announced not until the long away date of January 22nd. We have to wait a long time for that.
Oh, yeah.
And before that even happens, we are going to be able to watch the Golden Globes, because the 2019 Golden Globes will air live on January 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on NBC.
5 p.m. Pacific.
That's correct. And now it's time for our interview with Mark Ronson. We caught up with the songwriter / producer last Thursday, hours after he'd found out that Shallow from A Star Is Born, which he co-wrote with Lady Gaga, Andrew Wyatt, and Anthony Rosamondo, was nominated for Best Original Song Motion Picture at next month's Golden Globes. And then, since we talked on Thursday, he also landed three new Grammy nominations, including Song of the Year for Shallow and Best Dance Recording for his Silk City track, Electricity, with Dua Lipa, I should mention. In addition to all of the award season love, he also just released a buzzy new single with Miley Cyrus called Nothing Breaks Like a Heart that will be included on his next album.
Oh.
Yeah. So during our chat, we talked all about how Shallow came to be, his love for Gaga, and his love for Bradley Cooper. It's an amazing conversation. And the feedback he's gotten so far after releasing Nothing Breaks Like a Heart. So please enjoy our conversation with Mark Ronson.
I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times.
Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
And congratulations on Shallow being nominated for Best Original Song at the Golden Globes. How did you find out the news this morning?
By furiously refreshing my internet browser every 30 seconds. No. I'm in England, so it was kind of like a civilized time, because like you always see like these people, like it's sweet, but they're always freaking out. Like I woke up, my agent was yelling into my answering machine. It was 5 a.m. This was a little more like civilized hour, but it was still so exciting. I couldn't find it anywhere, so like I managed to find it through like the Hollywood Reporter's Twitter page. But you don't have to mention that if you don't want to hear another.
No,
magazine.
You know Billboard, but, Billboard's sister publications with Hollywood Reporter, so that's perfectly fine.
Oh well, then I just spoke to him, so yeah, big up both of you. it was really amazing, and I texted Anthony and Andrew, who I wrote the song with, and Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. I just thank them for making this insane movie that's so beautiful, and the performance is so amazing that makes people love the song like this. I mean, I love the song. Like, I really do. Like, I can say that. Like, I can be pretty, you know, I have distance from songs. I know some things I've done are like pretty good, some things are mediocre, some things are really good. That song always felt pretty special just because of where it was in her voice and the emotion and like what she was trying to say, like, you know, for the film. But there's so many great songs in this film, and you know, like, and I'd heard a couple of them, and like then when I saw the trailer and I was like, oh shit, like wow, they've made this song. The Jason Isbell song is so beautiful. I genuinely love that when it starts the trailer, but then when it goes into our thing and he like builds the tension, the drama with the trailer around the song like so well. I think it's like honestly one of the most exciting trailers I've ever seen, and to be a part of that. And I mean, I'm skipping the whole part of like even just learning that our like the way that he used the song in the film, the way it, you know, we had it originally, it was just like an Ali song. It was just for Gaga to sing. I never realized it was a duet. I certainly never realized it was going to be part of like the plot, like the narrative in the parking lot, which is really like such a beautiful scene. I think that like taking anything personal out of the film, I think that like my involvement, I love it. Like it really gets like that first part of like falling in love or having a crazy crush on someone, and like the moment it does it really well without being cheesy, that whole film. So like I love that parking lot scene so much, like when they're walking on the supermarket and he's like icing her hand and then the counter lady takes a picture and not supposed to, like all those little details are like, I don't know, I guess it's I just love that. I love that arc of the movie.
Yeah, and since this is, you know, your first time kind of doing music for a movie like that, how weird is it to have this song, like, send it out into the world, and then all these amazing little details are done to your song in the service of this movie?
It's so crazy. I don't even know, like, I have no reference for it, so, like, it's nothing. It's nothing I ever thought would happen. I'm, like, a big fan of Bradley Cooper already. Like, the first time when he came into the studio, I was, like, a little starstruck. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just, like, I feel weird saying that because we're kind of like friendly, but like he does like glow. I don't know what it is. Like Bradley Cooper is also one of those kind of special actors that like all dudes like, because it doesn't matter that he's like impossibly handsome and like all that shit, because there's like no vanity to him, and he just seems like a guy that you want to hang out with. So that's why like Limitless and all these kind of things. And, you know, he's just like, there's something about him. It's just like that rare thing where like he's like a guy's guy, and then like a heartthrob and all that kind of stuff. And also an incredibly talented actor and director. So like the first time he came to the studio and all that shit, like, you know, I was definitely a little starstruck, I guess, just because he's, anybody who I meet has done a lot of things that have been meaningful to me. It's like they have a little bit of, you know, like they mean a little something actually to you. It's not because he's famous, because he's like a celebrity or something. But now I really just have been going on about Bradley Cooper for so long, I can't even remember what the question is.
Oh, it's all good. I mean, he's a movie star. That's what you're saying. It's undeniable.
Yeah, that's thank you for putting that a little more succinctly. And then also the thing about Gaga's performance, it's so amazing. Is like, not only did I know her, get to know her pretty well from working on Joanne and then working on the song for the film, but like she's like, to go in and really have her be so believable as like a struggling artist starting from the beginning, like, and to actually like go, like after the first 2 minutes you're like, okay, I know this person, and then just to be fully transformed and be like, no, this is, we're watching Alec, you know. I guess it was just so. But the everything about the experience in the movie is just like, they're the two people that make that song like kind of like really like exceptional. And then I really think like Lucas Nelson and his band and the way they play it is kind of special. You know, listening to the demo, like he added that acoustic guitar figure that's really like really beautiful, and it's just like, you know, all those little intangibles like that. Make the song, I guess, like it's special as it is.
Yeah, and you mentioned Joanne. You worked with Gaga on the song at the same time as you were working on her last album, Joanne. Was there a clear sense of like when you were working for and writing for Lady Gaga and when you were doing it for Ali?
Yeah, because she basically came in and was trying to like work on this film. I mean, on her movie. Trying to work on her album. And you know, I was psyched for it. I knew Star is Born was important, but that wasn't like why I was brought in here. I've got John Janik like on me, like, hey, we need singles for like Lady Gaga. So, but like for like, as soon as her and Bradley, you know, got into the film, like the entire like Joanne album just turned into Star is Born for a couple of weeks. And, you know, obviously like I was kind of just like, it was almost just like, I guess I didn't really mind because I could tell it was important, but you know, you don't really know what's going on at the time. And I was, you know, aware that like, you know, we're just like, we're writing these songs for the film and stuff, but I'm brought in to like finish this Joanne album. But I think that the minute that we wrote Shallow, like there was definitely the sense that there was something kind of special about that song. And I think it was just, I don't really know like why that song just has, it's like emotion in it, because I think it was Anthony, Andrew, myself, Gaga, like everybody's kind of like, even though we're writing for the film, everybody's personal life experiences is in that song somehow. And I can only speak for myself, but I was going through quite a difficult time like at that moment, and that's when kind of for me my like better music comes out. I think most people are like that.
And finally, because I have kept you long enough, but one final question I really wanted to ask, what kind of feedback you've been getting for your incredible Miley Cyrus collaboration, Nothing Breaks Like a Heart, which came out last week.
It's really been pretty amazing. Like, you know, I don't know, like it is one of those songs, like when we came up with the chorus, it felt kind of special. And, you know, I came up with the chorus with Tommy Brennick and Ilse Juba, this fantastic songwriter. And when she said that line, "Nothing breaks like a heart," I was like, that can't be that no one's ever said that in the history of like song, right? And like, I think we like probably looked at that real quick and were like, no, I think like, what the fuck? Like, it's like what you're searching for your whole life, like something that's like, that like it's been there for so long that you think that it has. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I've been waiting to work with Miley for so long, and I sent her a little chorus idea, and she loved it, and she came in and wrote the verses and the bridge, and So anyway, long story point, whatever the expression I'm trying to find is that, like, we're all so proud of it, and you know it's good, and but you know it, like, sounds a little left field to what's going on right now in music, and it has a kind of tiny, like, a country vibe, and it's acoustic guitars, and it's not like the sound of fucking, you know, necessarily Spotify and the radio, so you're always a little nervous. But all the records that I've been in that been involved with that have really kind of, like, had a bigger impact to the ones like Rehab or Locked Out or Uptown Funk or even Shallow that don't sound like anything on the radio. So, like, they're a bit of a bigger risk, but when if they work, they really stand out. So it's just like, you know, it's still early, but it's really kind of what I really, like, had hoped would happen, that people would just, like, have a, you know, just, I don't know, like, embrace it, just, like, and it just seems to be. And obviously, like, Miley is just such a fucking megastar and such a incredible, like, because I met her when she was sort of out of her album cycle, and she was just so, like, down to earth and, like, hanging out in Malibu and, like, talking about her dogs. Like, I sometimes forget the same thing, you know, when I was working with Gaga, that, like, oh my God, this person has 75 million followers on Instagram and, like, can tweet one thing and, like, 300 people would go get a tattoo. Like, it's just, like, the power I forget with some of these really, like, I'm lucky I work with some down-to-earth people that when they're in the studio, you forget, the, like, what megawatt stars they are. So now that this song is out, I'm like, oh yeah, fuck. Like, I got, like, probably picked up 30,000 followers, like, since she probably tagged me in one teaser or something. Like,
the smilers, like, came for you.
Her power. The smilers. So I loved it. I love this song. I'm so proud of it. It took a lot of heart and things, like, went into, like, making this song possible. And, you know, that's just my heart. But the fact that it's people seem to be, like, digging it is wonderful, and it's mild relief.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on the new music and on the nomination.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Things fall apart, but nothing breaks like a heart.
Thank you so much to Mark Ronson for hopping on the phone with me last week. And since I didn't get to say congratulations for the Grammy noms then, because he didn't even know about them, congrats.
Yay. Looking to upgrade your audio? Get Powerhouse Sound for your music and podcasts.
Shure sound-isolating earphones provide immersive audio and complete freedom in a custom comfort fit.
Pair with your Bluetooth device or use the innovative detachable cable system to plug directly into any device. Flexibility never sounded so impressive.
So visit shure.com/listening to save on select models during the holidays.
And now it's time for the chart stat of the week.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
Now all the Beyoncés and Lucy Liu's
and Baby Dolls.
15. That's correct. That is right, Katie. Don't forget those Baby Dolls. 15 years ago this week, one of the most infectious and memorable songs ever hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart as Outkast's "Hey Ya" hit the top of the list. The song moved to number one on the chart dated December 13th, 2003, and spent 9 weeks atop the tally. The song, which famously instructed listeners to shake it like a Polaroid picture, went on to be nominated for the Record of the Year Grammy Award and took home the trophy for Best Urban Alternative Performance. Outkast was so hot at the time, the duo, Andre 3000 and Big Boy, replaced itself at number one on the Hot 100, as The Way You Move bumped Hey Ya from number one on the February 14th, 2004 dated Hot 100. So there you have it. 15 years ago this week, Outkast at number one with Hey Ya.
Y'all don't want to hear me, you just want to dance.
All right.
Good clapping.
That song.
Oh, God, it's just so good.
Every part of that song is like an earworm.
Oh.
Like.
Yeah.
I mean, every like, it's just, it's a sim, it's like an assemble, it's an assemblage
of hooks.
Of hooks.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
It's like, there's not one hook. It is just hook, and like, after hook.
Every lyric is memorable. Every turn of phrase is like, it sticks in your brain. The whole thing, it just congeals into this perfect pop moment.
Yes. The brilliance of Andre 3000.
Any parting words, Katie?
Oh, man. Looking forward to the next nominations for whatever.
What's next?
Whatever you got.
Screen Actors Guild? I mean, that has nothing
Maybe.
To do with us.
Yeah.
Is there some, what other, I don't know.
Something.
We'll be talking about it.
Whatever it is.
What song should we go out on?
Oh, man.
One of Dolly Parton's Academy Award nominated songs from the past, like 9 to 5 from the film 9 to 5?
The answer is yes.
Okay, see you guys next time.
Bye. Working 9 to 5.